This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 14.
The sun is shining down upon us. Rays hit our backs and the warmth is incredulous. We venture deeper into the woods and deeper and deeper. It is hot now. I brought water. It is gone now. We are too far from home. It's hot. Our skin feels like sandpaper to the touch, and sweat pours down like salty, sticky rivers. Deeper and deeper we go into the woods. Why? The deeper we go into the woods, the farther we are from help, the farther we are from water. Then why? It feels nice to be helpless, to be alone, in my thoughts. But it is hot. I need water. And then I saw it. Oozing from the dried-out ravine that used to be a river, as brown as chocolate and at least a foot deep. I run towards it, finding energy I thought had drained hours ago. I reach out, touching it. So cold, so cold. It rushes through my fingertips and tingles down my spine in an instant. Ah, it feels so good. I cover myself in it, ruining my clothes. I do not care. I continue on. Trudging, deeper, deeper. It dries and hardens, and I am lost.
Yay! Thank you so much. So this reminds me of when I used to go hiking during summer camp, and it would be like so crazy hot out. So what was your inspiration for this?
We used to play in the woods when we were kids, me and my brother. So it was kind of like reflecting on that a little bit, as well as like, I kind of made it a little bit different, too.
Mm-hmm. What was the first line that you thought of, and where did you go from there?
I was thinking of wanting to tell about us getting lost, and then I kind of went backwards.
Is this based on a specific experience or a collection of experiences?
I would say a collection. It's not really, like, fully an experience that I went through. It's kind of just, like, a memory turned into like a story.
Mm-hmm. And how does experience affect your poetry?
I would say I like to reflect upon it, but not go like deeply into it. Mm-hmm. I like to like just use it to make a new story.
And do you find it difficult to write about things that you might not have experienced?
Yeah, I think so. Unless I've seen it, then I can't really describe it or like... Mm-hmm. I can't use descriptive words and, like, remember how it felt, so it's hard.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, sometimes you can be imaginative and such, but it's difficult if you haven't seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
In the first stanza, deeper, the word, is written with one letter on each line. And what was your decision behind this, of, like, spreading it out?
I feel like it's kind of like when you're moving forward and you're, like, going deeper. It's like harder to just imagine like stepping really, really far if it's all in one word, because then you're reading the word. But if you see it like stretched out, then you know that it like took a long time.
Do you play around with form a lot when you write poetry?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I like to put a few words on each line. I don't like to write in paragraphs very often. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of depends on the story. Whether it's like super intense, then I might just write it as a story in like a paragraph. But with poetry, I like to do it like shorter.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried backwards poetry or reverse poetry? We've talked about this in a podcast before, but basically it's a poem where you can read it from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top, and it has a different meaning each time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So like, if you read it from top to bottom, it could be a negative meaning, then from bottom to top, it could be positive. And there are just a lot of interesting forms of poetry that are cool to check out. So some lines that stick out to me are, "The sun is shining down upon us, rays hit our backs, and the warmth is incredulous." There's a lot of imagery here. Like, you can really imagine being in the woods with the sun. It's like really hot on your back, maybe hoping to find your way back home.
I feel like that part, it kind of, I used memories from like summertime when you're outside and it's like nice out, but it's really, really hot. That's kind of how it feels.
And speaking of the summertime, it's supposed to be summer in like a month, and it snowed here last night.
Yeah, it snowed here too. We're in Virginia.
Yeah, in Vermont too. Like, it was really snowing. It was like maybe an inch on the ground. It was so crazy. And it's like almost halfway through May. Like, what is up with this?
Maybe it's crazy weather or...
It usually snows in... Like, the last snowstorm in Vermont is usually about the end of April. Maybe the middle
of April. It's like middle of January is like when it's over. And then it's just like cold.
Mm-hmm. We get the most snow in like December, January, February, and then March to May, really. It's just kind of cold and muddy and stuff. Yeah, and then it gets cold again in September. So you really only have like July and August to have a summer. Yeah. Those are the times when you can go in the woods. another line that sticks out is, our skin feels like sandpaper to the touch and sweat pours down like salty, sticky rivers. And this, again, it's like you can really picture just being so hot and your skin being like all leathery and like dry.
Being sunburned.
Yeah. How did you work with the poem to make it seem more realistic? And did you start off with certain lines and then think that they were too abstract?
Usually when I start off with like my rough draft, I just write out like straight what I mean to say, and then I add in like a lot of descriptive words. I look up like synonyms for words, and I add in more detail to make it feel like it. And then I also try to like remember how it would actually feel, and like the sandpaper to the touch, how it like how you would feel if you were there.
Mm-hmm. And how does your editing process work when you're editing a poem?
So I start off with like my rough draft, and then I add in all the details. After that, I usually just go in with like, I get my mom to help, and I also do it myself to like correct word spelling and like things like that usually. Mm-hmm. And then like make the paragraphs look more interesting and things like that.
Now, how did you first get into writing?
Ooh, it's like a long story. When I was in third grade, my mom, she used to teach, and we were homeschooled when we were...
Me too!
First and fifth grade, we were homeschooled. So we really like literature and writing and stuff like that. So we learned how to read when we were younger. But when I actually started like liking writing was probably when I was 8. And my mom started doing like poetry tea times where we would share poetry with each other.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
And then I kind of wanted to like make my own to share with them and stuff. So it would be a lot of fun.
That's so cool. You just reminded me when you said tea. Well, today's Mother's Day. And I get my mom this really cool tea set. And it's like this handmade gray stone teapot. Oh, wow. Tiny little dishes. Uh-huh. It's the coolest thing ever. I somewhat like sharing my poetry with my parents, and it's just kind of cool to see what they think.
Yeah.
Do you think it's difficult sometimes to share your poetry if it's really personal?
Yeah, but I think that that's also kind of what makes poetry better, is if it has like a lot of emotion and like emotional charge in it. So I think if it's too personal, no. But if you can incorporate the emotions from the like experience into a poem, then it's like easier to share, and it's like a lot better than it would be if you didn't like try to base it off experience.
Mm-hmm. What makes you like a poem that you read?
Ooh, I feel like it kind of needs to have emotion and a lot of description. Mm-hmm. Like descriptive words, that's kind of like the key thing for me, because I like to feel like I can picture it in my mind a lot, and that's what I like about poetry. And sometimes if it has, like, a deeper meaning to it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite poems or poets?
I like poems by Mary Oliver. Yes. That's her name. I love her poems. Mm-hmm. And then she writes a lot about the outdoors as well, so I like that. And it's kind of stupid, but I like Edgar Allan Poe. It's kind of, like, a common thing, just because his poems have so much, like, emotional charge in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Raven, that one's really cool.
Like that.
So, like, creepy, too. Have you read about, like, his life?
Yeah, he had a lot of parents die, and he was living on the streets a lot. Oh, yeah. And stuff like that.
I watched this video. It was actually on BuzzFeed. because they have an Unsolved series where they talk about like unsolved crimes, and it was about how he could have been murdered, but he might not have been. There are a lot of theories.
They don't know how he died.
Yeah, and it turns out he married his 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah, I learned about that too. It's a little wrong. Weird.
I know. Different times, of course, but like, it's just so weird to picture that. But you know, when you read more about an author or a poet, then you can understand more about like what they're writing, you know, and if they if there are hidden meanings in the poem that you might not have picked up before.
Yeah, or like symbolism, like how he was talking about like people dying in the raven and stuff like
that. Yeah. And he has a poem, it's called Annabelle Lee. It's on my wall. It's really, really cool. And what other books do you like?
It's hard. I have like a lot of books that I like. I like realistic fiction, and I like books. It's kind of specific, but I like books about people with schizophrenia because I feel like I can picture it a lot better, and the writing has a lot of like it's really good writing usually when books are like about that. There's also some like, can't remember the name, I have the book out of my mind, like that kind of book, and Words on the Bathroom Walls, like books like that I like a lot. Yeah, and then I read Harry Potter and stuff like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it.
Always Harry Potter. Everyone's telling me I need to read it.
You haven't read it?
No.
You have to read it.
Yes, I've been getting, like, so much shade, really, for not reading the books. And in the podcast, we've talked about how I haven't read them. In my friend groups, I've said that I haven't read it, and they're all just, like, you need to do this. Like, we can't be friends if you don't read the series. So I think that that's going to be my goal for this week. I need to read the first book.
Yeah.
What do you think about the movies? Because I talked to someone, and apparently the movies are not as good as the books.
Yeah, I don't ever think that the movies are as good. I recently finished the Hunger Games series, and I'm not letting myself watch the movies ever. I'm never going to watch the movies because I just want to have, like, my images in my mind and how the author depicts it. Because in the movies, I feel like the author's image is warped because the characters can't be perfect and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Hollywood and, like, they change movies a lot or books a lot.
Yeah, they take out, like, you know, parts.
There are certain parts that are super important in a book and they take it out because it might not be that, like, important in a movie, you know? So I feel like it just becomes a lot different when you change a book into a movie. So that's why I don't watch that many like adaptations. But I mean, there are, it's still kind of cool though to see it.
Yeah, some it's like movies are good and some and they redo it well.
Yeah.
But I feel like if the movie production isn't perfect or like it isn't, if they take out too many things, then it changes the author's view. So
yeah. And then sometimes, like, if the movie gets really popular, then people just know it for the movie and not the book. That's one of my pet peeves, where you're like, oh, have you read this book? And someone's like, oh, yeah, I know the
movie. I watched the movie, and then it's like, completely different. Yeah. You're like, oh, did you know that part? What is that?
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, the craziest thing. Like, that's not the same at all.
Yeah.
Like, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. That's a really popular movie. I saw the movie. It's pretty good. It's not fantastic, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And now people just know it as, like, a cool Netflix movie. You know, not like a...
Not the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just one of my pet peeves. Also, I really don't like the sound of nail files. That's another one of my pet peeves.
Yeah. Or, like, people chewing ice.
Yeah.
Bugs me so much.
Oh,
it's
my
like...
gosh. Or people chew their food, like, really loudly. Oh, just... So those are my pet peeves.
Yeah.
I probably have a bunch more too. How did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
I discovered YWP through my mom's friend's kid. It's like a family friend. She does it and so she recommended it to our family. So then my mom set up an account for me and that's when I started. And it's a lot of fun because I feel like I've been writing more because of it because I've been able to connect more, like, with other people's writing. So I'll, like, read poetry and I'll be like, oh, I should make a poem kind of based like that, or, like, things like that. So I have more reasons to write and, like, more ideas.
And this isn't life or death question. Well, not really, but have you listened to the other podcast episodes?
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of them. I listened to, I think, the two most recent ones, and then I listened to a couple of the first ones.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, actually, to see, like,
other people.
Yeah, where everyone's different perspectives, because, you know, it's basically the same questions, you know, like, mm-hmm. how did you get inspiration for this, and how does your writing process work and stuff, but everyone has a different answer.
Yeah.
So that's what's really cool. And it's also cool when it's, like, someone on YWP who you've read, like, their poetry a bunch, and you think their poetry is really cool, and then you've always wanted to learn more about them, and now finally they're talking yeah. about it.
Or, like, you've read their poems, and then they show up to a podcast, and what you thought was, like, how they would do it is completely different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's cool just to hear people's voices, you know? Because, yeah. Like, the way that they read their own poetry. Because mm-hmm. we've talked about this before. Like, you have certain nuances when you read your own poetry that other people might yeah. not have. Do you think that, too, like, when you read your poetry, you read it slightly different than other people would?
Yeah, like, my mom reads to us a lot. Like, she'll read a book with us. So I actually read The Girl Who Could Fly at mm-hmm. myself, and I pictured the voices differently, like their tones and stuff. And then my mom just read it aloud to my sister, and she does it completely different. Like, the teacher's voice will be, like, a lot more feminine or something like that mm-hmm. than I would think of, or, like, less stern. So,
yeah, it's interesting how yeah. different people, like, interpret different, yeah, like, the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see how someone could, you know, put certain emphasis on certain words that they're reading, and other people just completely skim through.
Yeah, yeah, I think that too. That's, like, a lot how you can kind of change how people think about it as well. How, like we were talking about earlier, like how you arrange the poem, like how I spread out the word deeper, because then people would spread it out just like I was thinking it in my mind more. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's easier.
Yeah, exactly. Do you ever read at open mics?
Not really. I'll, like, read with my family and stuff like that, but not really, no. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that if you're comfortable with reading your poetry, then it's mm-hmm. a really cool way to just feel like there's some sort of reward, I guess, to reading poetry. I mean, there doesn't always have to be, like, a reward to it, but it's just cool about, you know, like, you go through the whole process of idea, writing, yeah. editing, finished, and then sharing, and then you can read it, and then people will be like, yes, woohoo, I love this so much, that was the coolest. And that's just, like, a really good feeling. But, you know, it's also a good feeling when you can just write something for yourself and then have it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you have more poetry written for yourself or more poetry written, like, that you shared?
I feel like I write for myself and then I share it anyway, usually, like, or sometimes I'll just write at my house and then I won't share it, but that's kind of rare. I usually do that in, like, a journal if I have, like, super strong feelings, and then sometimes I'll turn it into something else and share it, but usually I like to share my work in one form or another.
Yeah. A large majority of what I write, I share, because, like, the stuff that I write that's really personal is usually just in my journal or something.
Yeah.
Although I do write poems that are personal, I think I make them a little more metaphorical.
Yeah.
So that even if I am writing about an experience that's kind of close to me, then it's still universal, and it's not like this is just an isolated experience.
Mm-hmm. That's how I write as well.
Yeah, because then I feel like, you know, more people can relate to it. And also, it's just kind of easier for me to feel more comfortable
to share, sharing.
Yeah, because then I'm not like, this is exactly how I felt in this exact spot mm-hmm. time, you know? It's more just like
how I could feel.
Yeah, and this is how someone else might have felt. Because you're not, like, you know, making it any less important than it actually is. You're just making it.
Yeah. Like, you're making it more universal to everybody. Exactly. Else.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. What influences your writing the most?
I would say probably personal experiences and like either good memories from a little bit longer ago or bad memories from like in the present, kind of, usually is what I base my writing off of. Or sometimes I'll go to people's pages and I'll read them and I'll be like, wow, that was so amazing. I need to write something like that, but like change it completely, basically.
Do you write about nature?
Sometimes I do. If it's like, I haven't shared anything yet because I'm kind of new, but like I write about sometimes if we see like a flower that's really pretty outside or like the stories about in the woods, then I'll write about that. But usually I like to write about experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's cool to write about, you know, metaphorical things and then also realistic things like nature and stuff. Because it's cool to see how, like, you might make nature seem very metaphorical, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like your style could blend into it. But yeah. What do you think is your writing style?
I think I like to write descriptively and sometimes a little bit harshly, like where it's not perfectly like pieced together or like normal. A few of my poems are like really harsh and like kind of jagged, I would describe it as, because it's just like I feel like my emotions come out better that way when it feels jagged to people reading it as well.
And what draws you to poetry instead of fiction or nonfiction, for example?
I think poetry can incorporate both nonfiction and fiction because you can symbolize fiction with like nonfiction writing, or you can symbolize emotions with nonfiction writing. So you can kind of combine different things. But if you were reading a book such as like Harry Potter, then that's just one genre of fiction. But if you're reading a poem, then you can interpret it as like nonfiction, fiction.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what's really great about poetry is that a lot of it is just open for interpretation.
Yeah.
You know, and different people can get different meanings from it.
Yeah.
Do you write other genres like playwriting or songwriting even?
Sometimes I'll do a nonfiction of like something that has happened, and sometimes like a just a nonfiction write or like an entry of like something that happened to me or something that I've done. And then sometimes I'll also write fictional stories. They usually aren't too fictional, they're like realistic fiction. I like to write about brothers and sisters or like things like that where they go on adventures. I like that sort of story.
I have two brothers and I'm in the middle. One brother is 8 years older and one brother is 8 years younger than me. So we get pretty big gaps, but it's really cool to read about other siblings for me because it's like some of them are so close and it's like, wow, I can't imagine being that close with my brothers. And some of them are like really not close at all. And it's like, wow.
You're like, that's so sad.
I know. It's kind of sad because I know that, you know, my brothers and I always have fun when we talk or watch TV or I don't know.
Yeah.
Play games. It's also really interesting for me to picture like, well, like to sort of imagine what my life was like before my younger brother was born, because it's like,
yeah,
we're so used to like having everyone around,
everybody now in the family. Yeah. So if I was like a single child, I feel like I would be so different.
Yeah. It's just weird to picture not having either of my brothers. And sometimes we have this joke in my family whenever like we're eating dinner and my brothers are gone, like my older brother would be at the gym. My younger brother's like playing with his friends outside. They joke that I'm an only child and it makes me so uncomfortable. And my parents just like stare at me and they're like, so how was your day? And it's like, it's so uncomfortable. So I feel like it's just so much more fun when my brothers are around.
And if you're bored of, like, doing activities by yourself or, like, on your computer or whatever, then you can always have something else to do, like, watch a show with them.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they get me really mad. I'm like, I wish I was an only child, or I wish you would just leave me alone.
Yeah.
But then I remember, you know, I really wouldn't like it if I was an only child.
Yeah,
if, like,
you wouldn't have anything to do after a while.
Yeah. And my younger brother loves to roast me. Like, it gets on my nerves sometimes, but other times it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, especially during, like, these times, it's better to have siblings because you can't have your friends or, like, anybody else over besides over the phone. So if you want to do something, then you still have, like, a sibling to do that with.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And, my older brother and I used to play Monopoly all the time, and he does some economics business thing. I don't really understand it, but something to do with, like, money and stuff. And whenever we play Monopoly, he always uses his like economic stuff, so that he ends up having, like, these huge, like, battlegrounds, basically, where it's like, if you skip to this square, you're gonna pay all of your money to him. Like, there's no way around it. And it's like, how did you, like, manipulate this game to get to that point? I really like board games. I just think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, to play with your siblings and stuff. Also, we like to play Minecraft a lot.
Oh, yes.
Me and my younger sister and my older brothers, we like to play Minecraft a lot.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it. Yeah. I haven't played yet, though, so... Maybe it's like the Harry Potter effect, where, like, everyone tells me I should, and then I finally do, and I love it. Back to writing. What writing advice do you wish someone had given to you?
Maybe that instead of, like, hiding your experiences, you should just, like, change them a little bit, and then it'll make your writing better, or even not even change them, like, change them completely into, like, something completely different. Like, if I was writing about how I was mad about something that somebody did to me, and then I changed it into a poem about a flower or something, then that would be good advice. Because when I was younger, I used to just, like, write about, like, I love to play, and playing is so cool, and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely did that when I was younger. Like, today I played with my friends. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
We'll have fun tomorrow.
Yeah.
I had this journal when I was, like, 5 or 6, and the spelling is just horrible. And I was reading it. At first, I was like, what the heck does this even say? And I was like, I thought of this stuff, at, like, so innocently. You know, like, today was a really good day. Played with my friend for 3 hours. We did this and we did that. Tonight I'm going to sleep really well and stuff. I was like, that's a really sweet journal entry. And now I'm really mad because of this, and I'm just so ticked off.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see how, like, I guess my personal writing has changed.
Uh-huh.
And a related question, what writing advice would you give to someone else?
If I was telling somebody else, when they're writing, it doesn't really matter, like, how good your writing is. I should say, like, how good your grammar and, like, your words and everything else is. It matters, like, how much feeling you're putting into it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can worry about everything else. But, like, when you're writing, it matters more, like, how much you're putting into it, more than, like, how good it looks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. My advice would be to not compare yourself to other writers. And, well, don't compare yourself to other people in general, but not to other writers, because, you know, you can get caught up in reading someone's poem and being like, oh my god, this is so good, and then read your own and be like, I'm a horrible writer. I'm never going to be as good as they are.
Yeah.
But they started somewhere. You have to start somewhere. And I'm sure once upon a time, they weren't really that good either. It's just more experience and more time writing and more time really, like, caring about what they're doing. And if you're passionate about writing, then you know, eventually you'll become a better writer, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll develop your own style and taste and stuff. And I mean, there really isn't any point in trying to become like other people, you know?
Yeah, because then your style will just be boring, and they're like, because yeah. Then it'll just be like, if you're copying Edgar Allan Poe's writing, for example, then you're just like, people look at it and they're like, oh, you tried to base this off of Edgar Allan Poe, but you want to be like your own writer.
Yeah, like have your own voice, you know, mm-hmm. and you can admire someone else's work for sure. That's like,
yeah.
That's the best mm-hmm. part, you know, about reading other people's stuff is, it, like, admiring it, appreciating it, getting inspired by it. But, like, don't force yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have different experiences and you have, like, different perspectives on life in general. Mm-hmm. So, back to your poem for a second. Mm-hmm. What overall meaning do you think people should take away from this poem?
Oh, that's kind of hard. I think maybe... I want them to feel the presence of the memory. Like, I think that they should, when they read the poem and when they're done reading the poem, feel the presence of, like, the how it can be kind of nice to be alone and by yourself. But if you, like, keep yourself alone for a long time, like how I was saying that I was going deeper into the woods, then eventually you're just going to get lost in yourself and you're not going to be, like, a better person because of it, because you need to help other people and you need to be with other people. So, like, not shut yourself off, I guess.
Yeah, I think that sometimes I spend too much time thinking about certain things and then I get myself really worked up about it. But other times I don't think about things enough, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, I'll deal with it later, or it doesn't matter right now.
Yeah.
And then it's like this big, huge problem.
Yeah.
But the other night I was just thinking about, you know, college and weird teenager stuff like that. And I was listening to the radio for like an hour and I was just thinking, and I was like, you know, it's kind of nice to just think. But I don't want to always just be thinking.
Yeah, you have to be, like, doing stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, actually be...
procrastinating.
Yeah, fixing things that need to be fixed and researching things that I want to look more into and, you know, actually going through with things.
Mm-hmm.
So, a somewhat related question, but it's two different perspectives. Yeah. What overall meaning do you like to take away from this poem?
I just like to, like, remember how I was when I was, like, playing in the woods, like, remember what we used to play and, like, other times when people would fall in the water or, like, when we would build a fort and stuff like that. I think that's what I like to remember when I read my poem. Yeah.
That's great. I like... you know, looking back at some of my poems that are about experiences and being like, that was a really cool time, or that was a not so cool time. It's just cool that writing and poetry specifically can become like a time capsule for a moment, like a specific moment, or like a just broad
overall moment. Memories.
Yeah, like a period in your life, you know, can be summed up in a poem or something. That's really cool to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
We had a lot of fun talking today.
Yeah.
This has been episode 14 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 15. Bye.